In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Anastia. It's been a few months ago. I can't remember exactly, but I think I preached a sermon which referred to a book that's a compilation of speeches and essays by Archbishop Anastasios of Albania. They are speeches and essays on the subject of mission. And it's a wonderful book, but it has an unfortunate title called, it's called Mission in Christ's Way. And I understand the idea behind that, doing, in other words, it's doing mission as Jesus would do it, but of course when you speak English as the first language, mission in Christ's way can also, you can also infer from that 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 means getting in Christ's way as we're doing mission. So I might have chosen a different title for that book, but we're kind of stuck with it, and it's a beautiful book. But this morning I wanted to actually take that play on words and with regard to healing and talk about healing in Christ's way. Because this morning's gospel reading, as we'll talk about in just a bit, is obviously an account of Jesus healing. In other words, healing being accomplished as Jesus would do it. But I think very often we attempt to heal in a way that gets in God's way. So there's a deliberate play on words in this morning's sermon as we talk about healing in Christ's way. Now, if anyone wants an example of how to get in God's way with regard to helping those who are suffering, you need to look no further than the book of Job. And if you have never read the book of Job, I enjoin you to do so. And if you've never read it, then go ahead and cheat and go on the internet and type in summary of the book of Job and read it over so you know what you're headed for, and then read it. Job is a man of means and comfort, blessed by God. He was very faithful to God. And the devil says to God, of course he's faithful to you. Take everything from him and see what happens. And we know that, of course, he loses his children, his property. He is tortured with boils upon his skin, etc. And then throughout the course of Job's suffering, we have friends and acquaintances, even his wife, coming to talk to him. And they say, well, you must have done something wrong. There's plenty of blame, and there's plenty of judgment of him. They offer horrible advice. They don't listen to him. They probably don't believe that he can become well. I'm sure they say, well, of course he should be this way. He must have done something secretly wrong we didn't know about. They spend a whole lot of time talking to him and talking at him. Much more time talking than listening or doing anything. And it seems as though as they approach him that they always try to keep a little bit of a safe emotional distance. Because I think in some way they're probably very uncomfortable with this man who once had great wealth and health and a beautiful family and have it all taken away from him. I'm sure that they feel a little bit weird about being around him. And there is a continued disbelief on the part of the acquaintances and the wife of Job that God can do whatever he wants. Job knows that God can do that. God can do what he wants. He can restore if he wants and when he wants to restore. But none of this should be terribly shocking to us because Job comes from the Old Testament. And this is the understanding of God in the Old Testament. A distant God who is an absolute mystery to us. A God who is not knowable. And then there's the contrast this morning of the healing of the paralytic. Now, we've heard this before, and we heard it this morning, but very simply, there is a man at a healing pool in Bethesda. He's been there for 38 years because every time the waters are troubled, if somebody would only put him in the water first, he would be healed. And then it is Jesus himself who heals this so-called paralytic with the famous words, "Rise, take up your pallet, and walk." And as we think about the suffering of Job and how people reacted to him, I think it's safe to assume we have to embellish a bit. We have to color between the lines, if you will, and insert some things. But I think it's safe to assume that with this man who was sitting by the pool, that there was a whole lot of people getting in God's way for those 38 years when it came to this man's healing. And I wonder what it must have been like for this soul as he waited by the side of the pool. People saw his pain, they saw his suffering, but they never really saw it, did they? Obviously, if they'd really seen his pain and suffering, they would have done something about it and placed him in the pool. Maybe they blamed him. Maybe they said, of course he deserves it, he's a sinner. Even if he did deserve it because he was a sinner, does anybody really deserve it? Of course not. Maybe they came along and offered him bad advice. Maybe they said, hey, you should get one of those more comfortable pallets. They probably didn't believe you could actually become well. Maybe he didn't believe it himself. Maybe he himself said, I deserve this. I'm not worthy of being well. Maybe there was too much time complaining. We kind of get the sense in the few words he exchanges with Jesus that he has some complaints. Hey, I've been here for 38 years. Nobody will put me in the water. And because of course this is a bridge, if you will, between the Old and New Testament, it makes sense, but seemingly this man, and probably those around him, regarded God as the God of the distance, a remote God, a God who is inaccessible. And then along comes Jesus, and he actually sees the man suffering for what it is. He walks right up to him. He's not afraid. He doesn't stand off emotionally. He's able to stand right in the midst of this man's pain. He doesn't blame him. Jesus casts no blame on the man. And it's fairly safe to assume that Jesus knew exactly what was going on in this man's heart. And not only did Jesus know what was going on in this man's heart, but he demonstrates to the man that he's knowable. He's in his presence. Jesus is in the presence of the paralytic to teach him about the knowable Savior, the personal Savior. Jesus offers no words of advice. Zero. He just asks some questions. Really asks one question. Do you want to be well? No advice, he asks questions and listens. And when the man, even though he circuitously answers and whines a bit, when the man says, yes, I want to be well, Jesus does something about it. Because Jesus knows that healing is possible with God, and he wants this man to learn it as well. And so to revisit our play on words, healing in Christ's way, do we want to see people around us become well? And if so, then we need to get out of the way of God and ourselves heal in Christ's way. And when we see people suffering, to stop blaming. To start listening. To allow the personal God who is saving us to be present in the midst of others. So that when we are in the presence of others who are suffering, they can see Jesus in us. And that happens when we put ourselves second and put God first. If we want healing, then we need to be able to look at people's pain. And it's difficult. It's difficult to look at physical pain. It's difficult to look at physical suffering. And yes, it's difficult to be in the presence of people who are emotionally suffering. We need to be healed in our own lives so that people can see that healing is possible. They could say, if it worked for that person, it's going to work for me. And if we want to heal the way Jesus does, then follow his example. Don't be like those people who were the quote-unquote friends of Job. Be like Jesus. Stop talking. Stop chattering. Stop babbling. And start doing. There is lots of hurt and brokenness in the world. And I guess it's a couple weeks ago, even one of our young adults brought the book Orthodox Psychotherapy to the young adult meeting. It has nothing at all to do with psychotherapy. It has to do with literally healing of the soul. And I can remember when the book was first translated into English in the 80s, reading it, I guess it was the 80s, reading it a couple of times. And Metropolitan Vlachos makes the point in Orthodox Psychotherapy that if Christianity were to appear today, it wouldn't be counted as a religion, but as a healing system, a therapeutic system. And I think that's absolutely right. Christ and his church heal. And they heal because we have this personal, knowable God who is there to restore us, to save us. And that healing is something we should want for ourselves. It's something we should want for those around us. In many ways, for those who like to flip through their Bible, in many ways, this morning's gospel reading fulfills the book of Job. It's almost as if the book of Job was a tease for this morning's gospel reading. Job is a story of people who misunderstood God and did nothing at all to aid or facilitate in the healing of somebody who was down on his luck, broken, really. But today, in the gospel reading, we actually get a very clear picture of how wellness happens, how healing is shared with others. So this morning, I would close by asking a question similar to what Jesus asked the paralytic. Do we want to be well? And I would add, do we want to see others being healed? If so, it's really time for us to make sure that we stay out of God's way and instead share with others that very beautiful gift, healing in Christ's way.